Cody Rhodes, from the bottom of my heart, man to man, fuck your story.
Well, it's quite the message there from The Rock. Couldn't say that on Fox. Maybe that's why Fox was being so trigger-happy tonight during SmackDown. Maybe they thought The Rock was going to come on and cut a promo like that on live television. That was The Rock earlier today on social media dropping a bomb on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. The Rock put out a 21-minute promo on his social media. He's got like 400 million followers on Instagram. So tons of people saw this thing, and he absolutely eviscerated these two men. But more importantly than that, what he did was try to fill in some of the gaps in logic in this story so far. And honestly, over the last month or so, because here we are now, it's March 1st, 2024, and it was about a month ago, almost to the day, that The Rock returned on SmackDown, and he gave Cody Rhodes a big ol' hug in the middle of the ring as Cody stepped aside to allow The Rock to go to WrestleMania to get his match with Roman Reigns. And it didn't make any sense why Cody Rhodes would be willing to do this, considering how hard he has fought over the past year since getting screwed at WrestleMania last year to fight his way back and to win the Royal Rumble and to go on to WrestleMania and to finish his story. Why would he do such a thing? Well, The Rock cut that promo earlier today, and he explained exactly why that was. And I'm going to talk about that promo because, honestly, I thought it was the best promo that I have heard from The Rock in ages. I can't remember the last time that The Rock has put out as good of a promo as the one that he did on social media earlier today. And then he came out on television tonight here on SmackDown, and I don't want to say that he topped it because I don't think he topped it, but he came out tonight, and this is a very important segment on SmackDown tonight. Today, really, when you take everything together, today was a very pivotal day in moving this story along for WrestleMania with Rock, Roman, and Cody. Forget Seth. It's really about Rock, Roman, and Cody more than anything. The big news coming out of SmackDown tonight was that The Rock, he responded to Cody's challenge that he issued at Elimination Chamber when he challenged The Rock to a singles match, one-on-one, I want you, Rock. What would Rock say? Didn't seem like The Rock was going to come on TV tonight and go, okay, Cody, I'll give you your match, and it was going to be as simple as that. No, it was going to be a catch. So The Rock said, no, you don't get your singles match, but we're businessmen here in the Bloodline, and so I counter with another proposal. And the proposal was the match that many of us have been talking about really since Las Vegas. It seemed like the obvious direction here, a tag team match. A tag team match for night one of WrestleMania, pitting Rock and Roman Reigns as partners against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, pulling double duty at WrestleMania this year. Really, all three of them, not including The Rock, will be pulling double duty at WrestleMania this year. But The Rock sweetened the pot a little bit, and I thought it was smart to put some stakes on this tag team match. Some of those Omaha steaks, right? Doesn't Chris Jericho love those? He put some stakes up on this match to try to make things a little less predictable or just try to make the match more important. Because it is the main event of night one. It will be the main event of night one of WrestleMania. Which means, by the way, that Seth Rollins is going to get his main event. The main event that Seth Rollins very likely would have gotten had CM Punk not gotten hurt, he will be getting his main event on night one this year. But the stakes are that if Rock and Roman Reigns win, then the WWE title match, the Undisputed title match, they said nothing of the World Heavyweight title. Because as they've made very clear, that title don't mean shit compared to the WWE title. I mean, that's kind of been the whole story of this storyline. You have Roman Reigns going out there and burying Seth Rollins. You got The Rock going out there earlier today and burying Seth Rollins. Even tonight on SmackDown, he called him a clown show, which, in all honesty, I mean, when he walks out there, that's exactly what he is. If Rock and Roman win a WrestleMania, then the match on night two between Cody and Roman is under Bloodline rules, which means anything goes. Every single member of the Bloodline can interfere at will Rock can do whatever he wants. Jimmy can do whatever he wants. Solo can do whatever he wants. Paul Heyman can do whatever he wants. And there's nothing that Cody Rhodes can do about it. But if Cody and Seth win, then The Rock, he'll have it notarized. He'll have the legal documents drawn up. No member of the Bloodline, not himself, not Paul Heyman, not Jimmy Uso, not Solo Sikoa, can interfere in Roman's match on night two. So Q, of course, all of the people now who are counting down the days for Jacob Fatu or Tama Tonga to come in, since Tama Tonga, they've said, is basically a member of the family. There are members of the Bloodline that have come out and said he's basically family. Rock considers Haku to be his uncle, even though there's no blood relation between them. He bought his uncle a car. Rock likes to buy people cars. He bought his mom a car. He bought Haku a car many years ago, put all the pictures up on Instagram. Tama Tonga is as good as family to these guys. So cue all the people, all the pearl clutchers who are worried about Cody Rhodes winning that championship at WrestleMania, saying, oh no. Oh no, we're going to get an expanded bloodline, which I believe we will. But I don't think that's going to change the outcome of WrestleMania. I don't think that all the Cody crybabies that they love to talk about, I don't think you got anything to worry about, because Roman Reigns ain't walking out of WrestleMania with that championship. But that's a different story. It all but guarantees, though. See, I think some people may look at this and think that it just made the tag team match a little less predictable, made it more unpredictable for night one of WrestleMania. I look at it a completely different way. I actually think it makes it very predictable that Rock and Roman are going to win, because I just cannot envision, as I think about what Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes will look like on night two of WrestleMania, I cannot envision a match that does not have bloodline interference and shenanigans of some kind. I cannot envision them doing that main event and not doing a repeat of Solo Sikoa getting involved with the Samoan Spike and having that close near fall to play off of the drama of last year's finish. It's such a missed opportunity if they don't do that. I think the main event of night two of WrestleMania is going to be complete fucking anarchy. You're going to have everybody getting involved. I wouldn't be shocked if Stone Cold shows up and he gives Rock a stunner and he bounces his way out. I mean, anything can happen. I think it's going to be mass chaos and carnage on night two. And look, if you're going to do it right, right? Just go all the way with it and make it one big, complete clusterfuck. But at the end of the day, I don't think it changes the outcome of Roman and Cody. But The Rock did something else tonight that was very important and is going to play a very important role in this story. The Rock did something that he has yet to do up until tonight. He acknowledged Roman Reigns as his tribal chief. And this was after Roman Reigns made it very clear, just by the expression on his face, that he was not happy that The Rock was out there to steal his spotlight and, as he always does, suck up all the oxygen in the room, because that's what he does, right? The Rock is a gigantic star. He's got more charisma than probably anybody in the history of this company. It's hard for him not to command the room when he walks out there. We've talked about Roman Reigns coming across as little brother really ever since Vegas. And it's been the case every single time they've made an appearance on television together. Tonight was no different. But tonight, he acknowledged Roman Reigns. And that is going to be a pivotal moment right there, because there are two stories playing out here. Cody is going to go to WrestleMania to try to finish his story. But there is another story that is unfolding right now with Rock and Roman Reigns that is going to play itself out, whether it's at a pay-per-view later this year, whether they hold off until WrestleMania 41, can they wait that long? But it's going to happen, and we're seeing the seeds planted right now. We're seeing the seeds planted for what is going to happen in the main event on night two, when things blow up between Rock and Roman to give Cody Rhodes the win. So this is a very important, very noteworthy edition of SmackDown tonight, not only because of all the Rock stuff, but we also had Dakota Kai. Stop me if you're shocked by this news, but Dakota Kai was not being completely honest and truthful with Bayley when she said she would have her back. And in fact, Dakota Kai is still with Damage Control. Bayley is all by herself. She has no one. The only friend in the world that Bayley has is about to make her debut in Boston in a few weeks, and SmackDown ain't coming to Boston in 2 weeks. So Bayley's going to have to find some other people. I've got two people in mind. In fact, it's an idea that I pitched a few weeks ago right here on the show. The other thing tonight, Rey Mysterio is back. He's been missing for many months. Was kind of wondering when he would show up again. Tonight, he was back to set things in motion for the inevitable showdown, I'm sure, between he and Santos Escobar at WrestleMania this year, which is a match I'm very much looking forward to. I thought this was a very newsworthy, very enjoyable episode of SmackDown. You know, it's hard to pull off 40 minutes of talking, or actually 25 minutes of talking and 15 minutes of entrances. But it's hard to pull something like that off on a wrestling show when you have no wrestling in those first 40 minutes. But I thought they managed to do it in spite of Fox, which we'll talk about. Can we get this show off of Fox early? Do we really have to wait until October to get SmackDown on USA? Maybe they could work something out where they get them off Fox a little bit earlier. I am sick to death of watching this show on Fox. Tonight was just the final nail in the coffin for me. Holy shit, with that opening segment. Outside of that, though, I thought tonight was a very strong show, and that was the strongest open so far to an episode of SmackDown all year. This is your SmackDown review for March 1st, 2024. Hey, it's a new month, everybody. We are kicking things off here for the month of March. I also want to give a plug for something very cool that went up earlier today. And I know some of you are familiar with Greg, Good Mic Work. Check out Good Mic Work commentaries on YouTube. He and I collaborated on something very fun. He is doing an entire WrestleMania-themed month of content on his channel. And he's a Bret Hart fan. I'm a Bret Hart fan. We both make no bones about that. And he came up with a fun idea where we got together. And we each put together our own list ranking the best Bret Hart matches in WrestleMania history. And we were very curious to see how similar our lists would be. And some surprises and some things that weren't so surprising. So that is up on his channel right now. Just go to Good Mic Work Commentaries. The video went up earlier today. It's about an hour long. I want to thank Greg for inviting me on. It was very cool. I enjoyed it. And so go ahead and check that out. I got a lot of positive feedback so far from people who seem to enjoy it, so I'm glad. I'm glad that you have all enjoyed it. Now, before we even get into the events of SmackDown tonight, I do want to talk about this Rock promo. And you saw a little portion of it before, and what Rock thought about Cody's story. But he posted a 21-minute video on his social media channels. Like I said, just absolutely destroying Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And, you know, he repeated himself several times in doing so, which is, I think if you cut those parts out, he could have shaved it down from 21 minutes to probably 14. There were several times where he said the same thing over and over again. But outside of those parts, this was incredible. And so the gist of it, I'm not going to go through the entire thing. We'll save that for the podcast on Sunday. It would take me far too long to go through the entire thing. But the way that he explained it, and this is what was so key about what he posted. This had to be done this way. 21 minutes. Now, I know it sounds silly because they gave this guy 40 tonight on the show. He would not have had the time to get into the weeds on television in the way that he did here in this video that he posted on social media. It just wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to be able to recap the entire story and where we started with this and how, you know, why this happened and why that happened. And I think the context here is important for the people who have been following this story. So I'm glad that this went up on social media. And I'm also glad it went up on social because he was able to go and curse and be the Rock. And he would not have had the ability to do that on Fox, as we can tell from this show tonight. If The Rock tried to cut this promo on SmackDown tonight, you and I would have been staring at a black screen on mute for 21 minutes. So I'm glad this went up where it did, because there's no way this was ever going to make the airwaves on TV. But he talked about how after Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble, there were already plans in place, you know, when he was on Raw at the beginning of the year for that Jinder Mahal segment, and he dropped that line about The Rock is hungry. Here in San Diego, The Rock is going to go out, and The Rock is going to go get something to eat. Where should The Rock sit? Should I sit in a booth? You know, should I sit at the bar? Or should I sit at the head of the table? And everybody lost their minds. And he said in the video that he did that on purpose because he was testing the waters for a match between he and his cousin Roman Reigns, a match that was set years ago when Roman first started calling himself the head of the table and the tribal chief. So he was testing the waters. And then Cody went and won the Royal Rumble. And after that, Rock said that he had a conversation with Cody Rhodes to explain to him that we have bigger plans here. Myself and Roman Reigns, this is about family. This is about putting on the biggest WrestleMania main event of all time. This once-in-a-lifetime match. And he explained this to Cody. And he said that Cody agreed that even though he had won the Royal Rumble and even though he wanted to get a rematch with Roman Reigns, he knew it would sting. He said, I know it's going to sting that you're not getting your rematch this year, but Cody, you can finish your story anytime you want. Right now, this is the only opportunity to do Rock and Roman, right? The biggest match in WrestleMania history, and this is what would be best for business. So that's how he explained it. And he said that Cody agreed. Cody agreed that this is what would be best for business. And he said everything went according to plan. Cody introduced him that night. The plan was for Cody to call him out, introduce him on SmackDown a month ago, almost to the day. And they hugged in the middle of the ring, and Rock whispered something in his ear about, again, best for business. And he made a comment about how when Cody went to go leave, as he got in the aisle, he turned to look back at Rock, and he had this look on his face. He said he had this look on his face like his goofy-ass dog had died. But he did what he was supposed to do. And then they got to Las Vegas. And he said that they got to Vegas, and Cody was there. He saw Cody in the back. Cody was back there. Cody didn't say anything to him. He said if Cody had an issue with him, Cody could have come up to him and said, "Hey, Rock, I got to talk to you about something." He goes, Cody didn't do that. Cody waited until they had already gone out there and they had announced the match. And Roman said, "I'm going to fight The Rock at WrestleMania." And they put the big family tree up to show the entire bloodline and they shook on it. And then Cody decided to come out and say, "This is bullshit. And I'm choosing Roman Reigns to wrestle at WrestleMania." He said Cody went back on his word. He said Cody changed his mind. And then Cody had the audacity to start talking crap about his family, and he called other members of the bloodline goons and lackeys, and he talked about Roman's grandfather and his grandfather, talking shit about The Rock's family. And that's when he said, "Cody Rhodes, man to man from the bottom of my heart, fuck your story," which I thought was the line of the video. So he told Cody to fuck his story, and he also addressed Seth Rollins as well. He talked about Seth, and he said that he took exception to the comments that Rollins has been making in various interviews, and they showed clips in his video. They spliced in clips of media interviews that Seth has done, talking about Rock, "We don't need you. We're selling out buildings. We're doing big business. We're going into the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Seth, we don't need you." Or Rock, "We don't need you." And Rock warned Rollins that as a member now of the TKO board of directors, he says he can make that World Heavyweight Championship go to somebody else in a heartbeat if he wants to. So that was his threat, his warning to Seth Rollins. So he did stick that in there as well, which he had to, because again, they're setting up a tag team match here. So he's got to throw some shade at Seth too. But I like and I appreciate the fact that they did finally come around to trying to explain, because they had to, trying to explain that scene that we saw 1 month ago, which was so ridiculous in the grand scheme of Cody's story, that at least they came up with an explanation that makes some sort of plausible sense. Now you could still sit there and go, well, even still, it was stupid for Cody to do that and made him look weak. Yes, it did. But I appreciate them at least trying to explain to us logically why Cody would have stepped aside and why Rock now is so pissed off at him that he went back on his word and he decided to challenge Roman Reigns instead. So that's great. That's great that we finally got the explanation. But this promo, if you didn't watch it, and I saw Cody's response on Twitter. Cody's response, he posted that meme about how he saw the length of it because it was 21 minutes long. And basically said, "It's too long, I'm not going to read that, but what was it, congrats, I'm sorry." I forgot exactly how it goes, but it was pretty funny. So that was fantastic. And that then led into tonight's show, which was the first SmackDown for the month of March, kicking off with an Elimination Chamber recap. We had highlights from the event in Perth last weekend, and then we had Roman Reigns appearing on his third straight episode of SmackDown. When was the last time we had Roman on three straight shows? Now, there's a little asterisk next to it because last week's show was taped. So technically, you want to be real technical about it. It was really just 2 weeks of live TV. But his third straight SmackDown, headed to the ring with Paul Heyman, Solo Sikoa, and Jimmy Uso. Now, we were 10 minutes into this show before Roman even spoke his first word. Because we had the recap, we had the entrance. Of course, Roman now takes longer than The Undertaker to get to the ring. And, you know, he can get away with it because he's the champion and he's got that special, you know, again, aura about him when he comes out. And, you know, he's a big star. So when you're a big star, you can get away with having a long, drawn-out entrance. But still, 10 minutes into the show, finally Roman speaks. He tells Glendale, Arizona to acknowledge him. And he was not happy with the response that he got from the crowd. He got Cody chants. He said he was going to try it one last time, and then he was going to leave if he didn't like the response that he got from this crowd. Because he has already fulfilled his contractual obligation to be there, so he can leave if he wants to. And so he said, acknowledge me. And again, he was not happy with the crowd response, so he said, we're done here. That's it. He told the wise man, go get the jet gassed up. He goes, we're getting out of here. Paul Heyman then very sheepishly tells him, my tribal chief, we can't leave yet. He hasn't come out yet. He says, they have other business. He goes, he's coming out. He said, the people's champ, the greatest movie star of all time, will be here live, The Rock. And he goes, after this commercial break. So they had Paul Heyman actually lead us into the commercial break. Roman Reigns, though, if you were watching Roman, he did not seem very happy about any of this. He had a look on his face. He was telling a story just with his facial expression. He was annoyed. He gave an order to Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman did not acknowledge that order and said, no, we got a bigger star on the way out here. So that obviously pissed off Roman. Rock came out after the break. He was wearing one of his old $1,000 Rock shirts. You know, a few weeks ago, he came out in the vest. This was one of like the old school shirts that he would come out wearing 25 years ago. And Roman Reigns could not hide his disgust at this entire situation. I'm not sure we're even going to make it to WrestleMania before things blow up between these two at this rate. We still got 5 weeks left to go. So each time Rock lifted the microphone to his lips, the crowd booed, although he did get Rocky chants as well. Again, these crowds, they love going back and forth here. Hideous shirt. That was kind of the point, though. The shirt is supposed to get him heat. So if you think the shirt was hideous, then it accomplished its job. So the crowd booed. Now Fox kept blacking the screen out. This is where the blackouts began here in this segment. We could hear the audio. You know, the logos, or the little bugs as they call them, are on the screen. Well, yeah, the SmackDown logo or the WWE logo with the SmackDown hashtag was on the screen. But it was blacked out. First of many times that they did this. Very annoying. And PW Insider says the reason that they were doing that, and that was a Fox thing, that was not a WWE thing. The reason they were doing that is because apparently there was one fan in the crowd, and I guess it must have been on, you know, the hard camera side. It was visible on TV. It was one fan that had a Die Rocky Die sign in the crowd. Oh, no. Oh, no. A Die Rocky Die sign. What are we going to do? This is Fox. Okay, now I don't watch much Fox anymore because I don't really like any of the shows they have on. But there have been lots of shows on Fox over the years, sitcoms and reality television shows, and I'm sure there's still a lot of shit on Fox that has aired far worse than this. And I'm sure in the 8 o'clock hour and the 9 o'clock hour and the 10 o'clock hour. Far worse than that. Die Rocky Die is downright PG compared to some of the shit that I'm sure this network has aired before. So that was fucking lame, and it certainly wasn't something worth blacking out multiple parts of this segment for. It was stupid. I can understand muting certain sounds because you can't let certain curse words get through because of the FCC. This I don't understand. So that was incredibly annoying. Rock said, apparently Glendale is 10 miles away from Phoenix. And he asked the crowd, he goes, there are a lot of people here from Phoenix? A lot of people cheered. He said, well, that makes sense because I did a little bit of research. And he said the number one city in America for cocaine and meth use is Phoenix, Arizona. And here's what that means. Finally, your life has meaning because finally you cactus-loving crackheads finally have something worth shooting into your veins. You know, one thing I've noticed, and it was actually very apparent in the video earlier and then on the show tonight. It's been a few weeks now. Rock is definitely getting more comfortable and having more fun, embracing his heel side. And so that makes it fun for the viewer to see. Because that first segment back, not that it was bad. I mean, there were some funny lines in there, but it just, if he came off to me in that segment a few weeks ago when they were in Salt Lake City, like the Rock coming out and playing the hits and trying very hard to be the Rock of old with some of the catchphrases and some of the stuff that he was saying. I didn't really get that vibe tonight. He definitely felt more comfortable in his heel persona. He's embracing it. He's having fun with it. The fans obviously are having fun with it. And look, if the reaction, the negative reaction, the backlash they got to that segment a month ago changed plans as far as the direction that this WrestleMania was going to go in, here's another big benefit of that. Not just the fact that Cody will be in the main event, but the fact that we got heel Rock. Because I can't imagine heel Rock was the plan. And so now we're getting heel Rock. And heel Rock is a hell of a lot more entertaining than babyface pandering Rock that we have had in those couple of appearances he made back in September and then again in January. This Rock is a lot more entertaining to me than that Rock. So that's a plus too. Now he said professional wrestling is cool again. He said, dare I say, it is electrifying again. He goes, Birmingham, Alabama, sold out. Salt Lake City, Utah, sold out. Tonight in this crack den with popcorn, we are sold out. Next week in Dallas, sell out. 2 weeks from now in Memphis, Tennessee, sell out. Wrestling is cool again because of The Rock, because of Roman Reigns, and because of the bloodline. But you know who's not cool is your hero, Cody Rhodes. Cody, you think you're tough, you want to challenge The Rock. Here's The Rock's answer to your challenge. No. He said, you think you're going to go one-on-one with the Great One because you want to? He said, the world wants to go one-on-one with The Rock, just like every woman in this arena. He told all the, he told all the crackhead Karens and the meth head Marys in the crowd to calm down because they were not ready for his 22 inches of heaven. And then he clarified that he was not talking about his holy Moses. He said he was referring to the 22-inch guns hanging from his shoulders. He called Cody an idiot. Said he's already got a match with the most dominant champion in history. But they saw his challenge. They laughed about it. But The Rock is a businessman, and so he has a counter offer for Cody Rhodes. He says, Cody, you and your best friend, that walking clown show, Seth Rollins, which actually is, I think, a much better nickname for him, the way he comes out and dances and dresses. You know, Freakin' is his name. No, the walking clown show. I actually like that name more. He said, you and your best friend over there, on night one of WrestleMania, the biggest tag team match in the history of WWE, the biggest tag team match in the history of professional wrestling, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins against Roman Reigns and The Rock. And I think back to Las Vegas when they had the press conference, and if you remember, Triple H came out at that Las Vegas event. And one of the first things that Triple H talked about there when he was talking about the history of the pageantry of WrestleMania, he specifically mentioned the main event of the first WrestleMania. The main event of the first WrestleMania was a tag team match. It was Hulk Hogan and Mr. T against Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. And so looking back on it now, given the direction that by that point they obviously knew they were going in. That was not by accident that he singled out mentioning that first tag team main event at that very first WrestleMania. And now they're going to try to top it with the biggest tag team match in WrestleMania history, which honestly, if you think about it, it would be. Rock and Roman against Cody and Seth on night one will be the biggest tag team match ever in the history of WrestleMania. I don't see how anybody could even debate that. Might not be the best match, but it would be the biggest that they've ever done. So he said that's the match, but it's not just going to be any regular match. We're going to give you a shot. If you two jabronis beat The Rock and Roman Reigns on night one, then Cody, your championship match on night two will be free of the bloodline. He said that includes Rock himself, Solo, Jimmy, all of them. And then Cody has a shot to finish his story one-on-one against Roman Reigns. But, and there's always a but, he said that when Rock and Roman Reigns beat you two candy asses on night one, then on night two, Cody, for your title match, it is bloodline rules, which means anything goes. He said The Rock might pull up a chair and sit next to Pat McAfee and do some commentary. He said maybe Solo wants to sing the national anthem. And evidently the fans in Glendale, Arizona would very much like to see Solo Sikoa sing the national anthem because we got loud chants of Solo, and I don't think they were chanting for me. Loud Solo chants that Rock had to stop, and then they zoomed in on Solo, who of course was stone-faced, and he just doesn't sell it. He doesn't sell it. Rock says maybe he'll take that chair that he's sitting in and he'll bash Cody's brains in with it. And it would all be legal, because there are no rules. So that gives them a lot to think about. He challenged them to meet him and Roman next week in Dallas to give them their answer. I think Cody and Seth were, I know Cody was, at the building tonight. I think Seth was supposed to be there too. I figured it was probably going to be, you know, some dark match. I'm sure Cody was in the dark match tonight. But they'll be on the show next week to answer the challenge. He said if they don't accept their challenge, then the world knows that The Rock will do everything in his power as a member of the board. Because again, he mentions the fact he's on the TKO board of directors. He will do everything in his power to make sure that Cody does not win that title. He says he sits on the board, he owns it all, which means The Rock is your boss. And this was the next interesting part. He said The Rock is your boss, and there is not a man back there that can do anything about it. There's no vice president that will do anything about it. There is no general manager that will do anything about it. And that got Triple H chants from the crowd. Rock had to stop to acknowledge it, let them chant. He didn't bring up Triple H. He didn't acknowledge it verbally, but he stopped and let the crowd finish what they were chanting. There was no Triple H. And that really is the only sort of hanging loose thread. Triple H came out on SmackDown weeks ago, and he, without naming him, fired some shots at The Rock. And The Rock has yet to respond to Triple H. I have to think at some point that that's going to come, that we're going to get some kind of face-to-face confrontation between these two in the ring on TV. But there was no Triple H appearance on the show tonight. He said, and Cody, if you don't accept that challenge, then The Rock and Roman Reigns will end your story tragically. So, who do you think you are? Meet us next week in Dallas, Texas, and you give us our answers. And he went to go do his parting line. He did the, if you smell, and before he could finish what he was going to say, Roman Reigns took his hand and put his hand out and blocked The Rock from speaking into the microphone or lifting the microphone back up to his face. And that got the crowd's attention. And then he put his hand out to ask for another microphone from Paul Heyman. Gave him the mic. And Roman said, I need something from you. He says, I'll do anything for my family. And the crowd at this point started chanting, what? Because we can't go one segment in this company without these fucking imbeciles chanting what. So, of course, they started the what chant. Thankfully, it didn't last too long. But he said, I'll do anything for my family. But I need this one thing. And I knew what was coming. And he milked it, and he milked it. And finally, he said, acknowledge me. And then they muted the audio. So we got more audio muting here. I was afraid they were going to mute the Rock when he first started speaking, because there were a couple of points during this segment where Rock cracked a joke or he said something and we couldn't fucking hear it. But Rock took his shades off, and he looked at Roman. Roman was staring back at him, and man, Roman has... Maybe it's the gray that he has allowed to just kind of come through in the beard. I don't know. Roman looks like he has aged a lot since this run began. But you know what? He's got like two sets of identical twins, I think. So I guess that'll probably do it. You got two sets of twins. I think he's got like five kids. Yeah, I think that'll probably age you, I would imagine. But Rock took his shades off. They're staring at each other. And Rock finally spoke up. And he said, Roman Reigns, my family, I acknowledge you as my tribal chief. And Roman was very pleased. Rock put his hand out. Roman accepted. And then they hugged. And Rock got chance of you sold out from the crowd. And then he explained that this is family and we will do anything for family. Now go home and smoke some more crack. And the crowd cheered because they're like, yeah. Because they're probably going to do that. They're probably going to go home and smoke some crack. And then we got the proper sign off. He said, if you smell, but he handed the mic to Roman and Roman finished it and said, what the bloodline is cooking. And they all put their fingers up in the air to do the bloodline salute. Rock did it correctly at first, but then he flashed that L. Remember he did that the last time. He flashed that L and then he went back to the actual, you know, the regular hand gesture. So it was quick, but we did get that L again. Again, that's not an accident. Obviously, that's being done on purpose. So who exactly is he acknowledging, though, will be a loser at WrestleMania? That's the question when he throws the L up in the air. This ate up pretty much the first 40 minutes of the show tonight. It reminded me of the tribal court segment they did last year at Madison Square Garden. That one went long. That segment went about 35 minutes, and they had to cut things from the show. It was a very long talking segment, but it was one of the best SmackDown segments all year. It was compelling. I thought it was great. I loved that tribal court segment. I was glued to it from start to finish. This segment reminded me of that. In spite of Fox's attempts to sabotage this segment, I thought that this segment was compelling. It held my interest from beginning to end, and I know some people already I saw before disagree with that. They were bored by it. It's a matter of taste. It would be very, very easy to have a 40-minute segment to open your wrestling show of people doing nothing but posing and talking and pausing for crowd reactions and not getting any kind of actual physicality whatsoever and be fucking bored by that. But they pulled it off. I was never bored. I was paying very close attention to what they were saying. There were some important things that happened in this segment, even just in terms of Roman's reaction to certain things and Rock's reaction to Roman. Him acknowledging Roman, that's huge. It's the first time that he's done that so far. And you know that's going to play into the story longer term. So that was important. That was key that we got that on the show tonight. So yes, even though Fox nearly made this segment unwatchable with all the censoring, this segment was fantastic, I thought. I thought they hit a home run here. The Rock promo earlier on social media filled in the gaps that we needed for what happened last month. This segment took the story from where it was, and it progressed it to the next chapter, which is setting up the tag team match for night one of WrestleMania. And so now we know. Now we don't have to speculate anymore. Is it going to be a singles match with Rock and Cody? Are they going to add Rock on night two and make it a triple threat? Are they going to do Seth and Rock? What are they going to do on night one? When Vegas was over, it was very clear that it was going to be a tag team match. Otherwise, there would be no point in involving Seth Rollins in any of this. And having him going around saying, I'll be your shield, and I just want you to know that I'm here for you. We got to take down the bloodline together, right? He's got his story with Drew McIntyre, but he involved himself in the bloodline. It had to go somewhere. And so now we know the main event of night one of WrestleMania. And it's all I can ask for. The fact that we got the explanation, we now have the match set up. I personally think if anything, a little more predictable, not less predictable, how things are going to go down on night one. Because again, I just cannot imagine that they're going to do the night two main event without having some interference from the Bloodline. You almost have to have it. You almost have to have it for the drama. How do you not do that Roman and Cody match on night two and not play off that finish with Solo Sikoa from last year? So night two has just got to be one just big giant mess of a match there. And you can have all sorts of Bloodline interference, and you'll have other people coming in to get involved. You may have Seth Rollins coming out to try to help Cody Rhodes. And other people who have been wronged by the Bloodline. Sami Zayn may come out. Kevin Owens may come out, right? Even though they have their own things going on right now. And you can have Cody Rhodes have to overcome all these different obstacles, which is what this whole fucking year has been about. Right? He's got to overcome more adversity, right? Well, how much more adversity do you want the guy to overcome? Like, it's now or never. Cody has to win the title at WrestleMania. I mean, he cannot afford to lose two straight years. You don't realize how damaging that would be. And yes, he can then, 6 months from now, win the title and finish the story, but you are doing tremendous damage to this man. If he goes in there and gets screwed over again at WrestleMania, and forget Cody for a second. Forget that it's Cody. It could be anybody in that position. There's a story there to be told. You went off the air at WrestleMania last year, and the people who wanted to see that title change hands, they just desperately wanted Roman to finally lose that belt. Or maybe they just like Cody. They were left disappointed when that show was over. They have now waited almost an entire calendar year. You cannot repeat the same finish here 2 years in a row just to add some new faces to the Bloodline and keep the story going. That story is going to continue. There will be new Bloodline members. I do believe there will be at least one new Bloodline member, if not more. The Bloodline is going to end up being to WWE what the NWO was to WCW and what the Bullet Club really is, right? We've had various incarnations of the Bullet Club over the years. And the Bullet Club is still a thing. The NWO, that's a different story. We had many incarnations of that, and a lot of it sucked because it overstayed its welcome and it got watered down. That's the thing that WWE has to try to protect against. But if they wanted to, there are other family members they can bring in, whether it's Jacob Fatu, you want to throw Tama Tonga in there even though he's not part of the family. They consider him part of the family, so he may well end up in there. And you can keep this Bloodline train going for at least another year, but Roman does not need the championship. Everything is building to a title change on night two of WrestleMania this year. And I just think it would be unbelievably damaging if there is any other result on night two. But I'm excited now going into this. They have me all hyped up to see where this is going to go next. I thought this segment accomplished what it needed to accomplish. And I'm digging heel Rock. Got things back on track now. I am digging heel Rock. It may only be for 5 weeks. Because I don't know that Rock is going to be healing it up beyond WrestleMania. So if you're enjoying it, enjoy it while it lasts. I don't see this being the long-term direction for his character. But they're back on solid ground, heading into WrestleMania. Now in the back, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, they were watching video on Waller's phone of Logan Paul knocking out Randy Orton with the brass knuckles at the Elimination Chamber. This was after LA Knight, he briefly showed up with a chair, asking them if they had seen AJ Styles, and they said no, and so Knight left. But as they're watching this video on Waller's phone, they don't realize that Randy Orton has showed up behind them, and he thought it was so hilarious that they were making fun of him and enjoying having a good laugh at his expense. And Orton, he was really hamming it up here. He's laughing and acting all goofy, and he said, you know, it would be great if one of you got in the ring with me later tonight on the show. And Waller said, well, you know, I forgot what his excuse was, but he had some kind of excuse. And he volunteered Austin Theory to step in the ring with Randy Orton. And Orton said, great, and he'll see you later in the show. And Theory was not happy about what happened here. That's the second time now, he said, after Waller left him to the wolves with Cody and Seth at the Elimination Chamber. We got Naomi one-on-one with Tiffany Stratton. Shout out to everybody here joining me on a Friday night. Good to have you here kicking off the month of March. If you are just coming in, do hit that thumbs up button. if you have not already done so. Naomi, one-on-one with Tiffany Stratton. We got Tiffy time chance for Stratton. Stratton got a lot of positive reaction from the crowd in Perth at the Chamber, even though she's a heel. And so her positive reaction from the crowd continued here. Not that she isn't getting boos, but there is a substantial portion of the audience that actually likes her and is cheering for her. And tonight was no different. So they traded some gymnastic spots before Naomi took control. She hit a face buster for a two count. Stratton rolled outside. After a break, Stratton hit a double stomp for a two. Both women exchanged strikes until Stratton hit a spine buster, and then she raked Naomi's eyes as the referee looked the other way. Stratton landed the prettiest moonsault ever, and she picked up the win. We got a good match here between these two. After a couple of rough-looking moonsaults that she hit, including that one on Vega, Zelina Vega a few weeks ago, this one tonight landed perfectly. And again, I've said I think she's got the best moonsault right now in wrestling, just her form and everything. It's probably that gymnastics background. But she was landing it a little like, wow, okay. Like, you're going to crush someone one of these days. But tonight looked pitch perfect. The crowds are getting behind her. Again, she hasn't been called up for very long. How long has she been up for? Maybe a month? Right? Maybe not even 3 weeks, 4 weeks at the most. And the fact that the crowds were already behind her as much as they are, I think says a lot about her long-term value on the main roster. She's only just been called up now. 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, where do you think this woman is going to be? She's going to be defending or challenging for a title at WrestleMania. That's where she's going to be. In fact, I think that could happen as soon as next year's WrestleMania. I don't even think we're going to have to wait until 42. I think by 41... Stratton will probably be wrestling for a title in one of these two women's divisions. Not only on the other side of the coin, not only did they not televise Naomi's entrance, she got the jobber entrance here on the show, which admittedly could have been because the show was, I'm sure, went long because of the Rock segment, so some things might have had to be cut, but she got the jobber entrance. This is coming off her being the first one eliminated in Perth in the women's chamber match by the woman who then turned around and beat her tonight on SmackDown. So not a great start for Naomi back here on Friday nights. Then we have Bayley and Dakota Kai teaming up to take on the Kabuki Warriors, Asuka and Kairi Sane. This was non-title. They had Io Sky in their corner. This was Dakota's first match since May. Her return match here from her torn ACL. And I said last week, the telltale sign is going to be who starts the match, how much work does she put in this match? And sure enough, who started the match for their team? Bayley did. So the first thing Dakota did was she went outside onto the apron and she stood there. So she didn't actually do much wrestling tonight on the show. Bayley went to the top early. Kairi, though, hit Bayley from behind and sent her plummeting to the mat. Bayley tried to fight back. Asuka, though, threw her into Dakota, and that sent Dakota off the apron. She took a bump to the floor. Bayley tried to fire up. She ran Asuka and Kairi into each other. Dakota climbed back up on the apron, but when Bayley dove to make the hot tag, Dakota dropped down off the apron, and she was not there to make the tag. So color me shocked. Actually not. And I know some of you also saw this coming from 5 miles away. What have I been saying? What have I been saying now for weeks? Not even last week, like weeks. I don't trust this woman. I do not trust Dakota Kai. Unfortunately for Bayley, she was a little too trusting in Dakota Kai. She was doing her best Sting impression. With Sting and the Horseman, he looked like an idiot multiple times. Bayley looked like an idiot tonight. She was left all alone in there with Asuka and Kairi. She took them down. She went outside the ring and she attacked Dakota. But damage control came over. They put Bayley back inside. And Io Sky got into the ring. She hit a running knee strike to the back of Bayley's head. And damage control taunted her. They toyed with her. They played damage control's music. All four women, including Dakota, They stood tall. I guess the match was a no contest. I don't think they even announced an actual outcome here, but it was more of an angle than a match. I think we kind of knew that going in. Now, after the break, Damage Control was in the back. They were celebrating their big ruse, and they bumped into Jade Cargill. And then Nick Aldis came out of his office, and he went in front of Jade and said, "Jade, I need you back in my office." So we had a little face-off here with Jade and Damage Control. It's almost like they read my mind. Because before this segment, but at the end of the previous one, I'm thinking, who the hell are they going to get? Like, Bayley needs backup. She needs friends. This woman has no friends. The one friend that this woman has is about to make her debut on the other show in Boston in 2 weeks. Otherwise, this would have been the perfect opportunity for her to come out either tonight or next week. That is obviously not going to happen. And I thought maybe Naomi would step up, but Naomi is being used in a way right now that doesn't really have me thinking she's going to have anything to do with this. So what I was thinking before this segment aired here backstage, I'm thinking, okay, who are two people who could step up and back up Bayley? One of them, even though she's had issues with Bayley before, is Bianca Belair. The other one is Jade Cargill. Now, what was the idea that I pitched weeks ago on the show? Because now I think there's actually a pretty decent chance we may end up getting this at WrestleMania. Bianca and Jade against the Kabuki Warriors at WrestleMania for the women's tag team titles. Because Tiffany Stratton would be a fine opponent for Bianca Belair at WrestleMania, and I think they would have a very good match. And there's been talk about maybe Jade and Nia. You do Nia Jax and Jade, which would either be very bad or could be a match that ends up being a lot better than people, I think, would expect it to be going in. I think this is the better play here. I think the idea of Bianca and Jade as partners being brought together by their mutual, dislike of Damage Control and wanting to give Bayley the assist end up coming together so they could take the women's tag team titles away from Asuka and Kairi at WrestleMania. I think that may be the play here. So there was no Bianca. We didn't see Bianca tonight, only Jade in this segment, but I would not at all be shocked if Bianca ends up being worked into this and we get a tag team match. Because otherwise, you know, Asuka and Kairi are the women's tag team champions. I mean, I guess, yeah, sure, they could defend against, you know, Caden Carter and Katana Chant. You could do some kind of multi-women tag team match for the belts at WrestleMania. This match would have more meaning. It would be more impactful. Get more star power in the match. And also, Jade, you know, if she's going to be doing stuff on the main roster, I don't know that her being in a tag team with Bianca is the worst idea for her. I mean, that might actually work out to her advantage. Because then eventually, when their team implodes, we can get the eventual singles match between Bianca and Jade. So, it all works out. Bron Breakker was up next against the free agent, Zion Quinn. That's going to be Zion Quinn's new theme music after this performance here tonight. Now we know why this man has been listed as a free agent for nearly an entire year and has yet to be claimed by either Raw or SmackDown. Name out your Uh-oh. You better keep the High Chief's name out your mouth. Who is that, Base Beerus? Thank you for the $28. But yes, now we know why he's been a free agent for so long. The bell rang. I'm going to give you the full recap of this match. Are you ready? All right, set your stopwatch. Here we go. Bron Breakker against Zion Quinn. The bell rang. Bron Breakker demolished him with a spear and pinned him. That was it. That was the entire match. Now, was it because the Rock segment went long? Was it because it was always designed to go this quickly? Who gives a shit? It was perfect. It was exactly what it needed to be. What you need to do with Bron Breakker is the easiest thing in the world. He's got to be the easiest guy to book. All you need to do is let him go out there and demolish people. Let him go out there and be the beast that we know that he is. He's got that explosiveness to him. Watching him go out there and spear people in half, it's fun. It's fun. That's what I want to see. I want to see him go out there and just break people in half. That'll also help get him over. Zion Quinn ain't going nowhere. Bron Breakker is on the ascent. Zion Quinn is not. So this was exactly what it needed to be. And now, it would be nice if they came up with something better for him to do. Again, Sheamus, where's he at? We don't know. Bron Breakker and Sheamus, that'd be a hell of a match at WrestleMania if they don't have something better for Sheamus. I still think that Sheamus could be worked into the Intercontinental title picture. We kind of talked about that during the Raw review on Monday. And where I think it's going and the idea that I pitched, I think there's a way to work Sheamus into that. But if they don't have a match in mind for him on the main card, Bron Breakker, there he is right there. There's your winner of the 2024 Andre Memorial Battle Royal. Maybe we can finally get a Battle Royal winner that will actually make their way up the card in a meaningful way. There have been a few, right? Jey Uso, for example, he's a former Andre Battle Royal winner. It took him a while to get to the point where he is now, but, you know, he's a former Andre Battle Royal winner. But, yes, there's your Andre Battle Royal winner if they don't have anything better for him at WrestleMania. We had Carlito one-on-one with Santos Escobar in a street fight. The LWO and Legado del Fantasma, they came out with each man as they made their entrance, but then they went to the back, so they left it one-on-one between these two. Is there a Battle Royal at WrestleMania? The Battle Royal has been on the SmackDown before Mania, which I just realized I will not be here for. So we have a House of Glory show in Philadelphia that night. But what they've been doing is the Andre Battle Royal on the Friday before. So I would imagine that it would be on TV. Which, again, is why I said if they have nothing better for him to do, they really should get Braun a spot on the actual WrestleMania card. And frankly, even if he wins the Battle Royal, it doesn't mean that they can't set something up for him on one of the two nights. If they don't, he's your Battle Royal winner right there. That's where I see that going. But we had, again, Carlito and Santos Escobar. Action spilled outside early. Crowd chanted, "We want tables." Carlito went under the ring. He pulled out a table. Escobar went to attack him. Carlito fought him off, and he went back under the ring, and he pulled out the dreaded kendo stick. And there was an absurdly loud chant of, "We want apples." Now, I got to give credit to the fans in Glendale. They were into the show. I think they were naturally loud all night long. I'm not saying that every reaction or chant was manufactured. It wasn't. But this is the moment in the show where I realized, okay, they're definitely piping shit in. An absurdly loud chant of "We want apples." When was the last time the crowd chanted "We want apples" during a Carlito match? Is this some sort of common thing that's been going on for a while that I've missed? They're chanting this, and it just so happened almost on cue. Within 10 seconds, he looks under the ring, and what does Carlito pull out? An apple. Oh, how convenient. So that was all the confirmation I needed, that they were planting and piping in certain chants here during the show tonight, which, again, I think is stupid because it seemed to me like the crowd was pretty up for a lot of the stuff on the show, and I don't understand the need to do that. Maybe they're trying to get that started. They're trying to make that a thing where during his matches, people will chant, "We want apples." I don't know. Apparently in Glendale, it's "We want apples and crack and meth," I guess, all three. But they chanted, "We want apples." So he pulled out an apple, and that would come into play a little bit later on. After a commercial break, there was a trash can over Carlito's head. Carlito ended up outside the ring. Escobar went for a tope. Carlito cut him off with a chair shot to the head, which thankfully Escobar got his hand up just before to block it. Carlito put the trash can on Escobar's head, and he hit the can repeatedly with the chair. And then Carlito hit a reverse crossroads onto a chair, got a nice near fall out of that. Carlito pulled a table into the ring. Escobar cut him off with a knee, and the two of them went up top. Carlito crotched Escobar on the top rope, but Angel and Humberto showed up, and they beat Carlito down. Legado hit a triple team powerbomb. Escobar, though, only got a two count out of it. I thought that was it, because Carlito hasn't exactly been winning most of his matches recently, so that kick out surprised me. Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro hit the ring. They fought Angel and Humberto until the heels took them out, but wouldn't you know it, look who shows up. Rey Mysterio walks out, but he's on crutches. He came out on crutches, and Legato sees this, and they start laughing. And then they make their way down the aisle. They're going to go after Ray, but it turns out Ray wasn't injured anymore. And he took one of the crutches, and he worked over Angel and Humberto with it. Then he got into the ring. He and Escobar went chest to nose. Escobar went to take a shot. Ray ducked. Escobar turned around, and Carlito spit the apple into his face. And Ray followed that up after a backstabber then. Ray followed that up with a 619. That knocked Escobar backwards into the waiting arms of Carlito, who put Escobar through the table that was set up in the ring with a spine buster, and he pinned Santos Escobar to win the match. Carlito actually won a match. I think that may have been the biggest surprise of the entire show tonight. That may have been the thing that really shocked me above and beyond anything else, that he won a fucking match on this show. Amazing. This was your typical WWE street fight. So you can picture it in your head, I'm sure. But the crowd was hot for it. They wanted their tables. They got their tables. They may have wanted their apple. They got their apple. We also got the return of Rey Mysterio, though. And now it's just in time to set up his match with Escobar for WrestleMania, which I think is going to be awesome. Now, we've seen the match before. We got it on TV. But now we're going to get Escobar and Mysterio with Escobar as a heel, one-on-one at WrestleMania. And so that's going to be very different than them going out there and having a tournament match or whatever it was that they had on TV. This is a match I've been waiting for since Escobar came to the company and since he was called up to the main roster. For him and Ray to go out there at a WrestleMania and have a match. And I thought there was a chance we might get it last year, and we didn't because they went with the Dominic story. But for a while there, it was looking like maybe there was a chance, but now we're going to get it, and it's going to be great. And it should be an opportunity for Escobar to pick up a big win. I really think it should be him going over and getting the win. You know, Ray got the win over his son last year. I think Ray this year does the honors and puts Escobar over. But it's going to be a great match either way. Now, backstage, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate were talking to Nick Aldis about how close they came to winning the tag team titles at Elimination Chamber, were it not for Dom. They wanted to know what they needed to do to get a shot at the tag team titles at WrestleMania. And Nick Aldis said, whoa, WrestleMania. He goes, and he kind of spilled the beans a little bit. He said that he and Adam Pearce are in the middle of discussions for what they are going to do with the tag team titles at WrestleMania. But he was distracted by a noise that was coming from down the hallway, which turned out to be LA Knight. He was making a ruckus. He was searching for AJ Styles. He still had his steel chair. Aldis informed him that I told AJ not to be here tonight. And Knight told him he'll find him wherever he has to, whether it's next week. He'll go to his house if he has to find AJ Styles. I would very much like to see that. I hope they film that. I really do. Preferably when AJ is in the middle of a gaming session on Twitch in his video game room. I think it would be awesome if he was live streaming on Twitch and then all of a sudden we hear like a woman screaming, maybe some glass shattering, and then LA Knight comes barging into the room and just beats the hell out of AJ Styles and they fight all over the house. I think that would be great. This man is so possessed, he will find AJ at home, interrupt his gaming session, and beat the crap out of him. Now I'm hoping that actually happens. So we're going to get AJ and LA Knight at WrestleMania. That seems pretty clear. But the question now is with the tag teams. So if the two GMs are having discussions about what to do with the belts at WrestleMania, are we going to get tag team turmoil where we get multiple teams involved? So you'll get DIY. You'll get the, the new Catch Republic. That's their name. You get them in there. Street Profits. AOP, are they going to do like a big tag team turmoil or a gauntlet type deal? Or are they going to have a tournament and kill time on television? Because they got 5 weeks to go until WrestleMania. You could have a tournament on television to crown number one contenders. Whatever they do, I think in the end, it comes down to Miz and R-Truth. I think that's the story here. That's the play. The play is R-Truth beating the Judgment Day and winning the tag team titles for his team. And not just beating the Judgment Day, but I think getting a win over Damian Priest. which he can do if the idea is that Priest is going to turn around that night or the next night and cash in Money in the Bank for the World Heavyweight title, which I still think there's a very good chance of that happening. Does he win? You know, it depends. It really does. It depends on the outcome of the match between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. I would like to see Drew McIntyre walk out with the World Heavyweight title. I love what Drew McIntyre is doing. Love it. Would love to see him walk out with the world title and, frankly, get that world title win at WrestleMania in front of a big crowd that he didn't get to have 4 years ago. And holy shit, I can't believe it's been 4 years. So I would love to see that. If Seth Rollins is going to just beat him again, then send Damian Priest out there, let him cash in and win the title, because I am ready to move on from Seth Rollins, World Heavyweight Champion. Let Seth get back into chase mode. I'm ready to see him do something different. Not every single champion needs to go a full year, year and a half, 2 years as champion. We have Roman Reigns, we have Gunther. I think that's enough. I want Seth to walk out beltless at WrestleMania. And frankly, whether it's Drew McIntyre or Damian Priest, I'm okay with either one. This week's episode is sponsored by Factor. I am in a position where from time to time, I get to try out a new product or a new service that I've never tried before. And I can be picky about what I like and what I don't like. And I recently had the chance to try out Factor for the first time. Factor is a meal delivery service that will ship fresh, ready-made, chef-crafted meals right to your doorstep. I just tried my first meal the other day. This one happened to be smoky Spanish chicken. I love chicken, so of course I had to go for the chicken meal. Smoky Spanish chicken with paprika potatoes and roasted pepper sofrito. Delicious. You never know what you're going to get when you pop something in the microwave, because that's literally all you have to do. You just pop it in the microwave or your oven, and you can heat it up. They do all the work for you, so that's all you need to do. And it was nice and moist, and the potatoes were really good. And there's a pork ragu with broccoli that's sitting in my fridge right now. That's going to be dinner tonight. The cool thing about Factor is that you have over 35 options a week to choose from. And they have all sorts of offerings, from keto to calorie smart to vegan and veggie. And they have over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more enjoyable. So now it's your turn. Get started today and enjoy two-minute meals. You can fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. They've got snacks, smoothies, tons of options, including breakfast and midday bites. It's the perfect solution if you're looking for fast upscale options. It's less expensive than takeout. Every meal is dietitian-approved to be nutritious and delicious. It's also flexible for your schedule. You can choose anywhere from 6 to 18 meals per week. You have the option to pause or reschedule your deliveries at any time. And because they're ready to heat and eat, there's no prepping. There's no prepping, there's no cooking, and there's no cleanup needed. Head to factormeals.com/solomonster50 and use the code solomonster50, that's solomonster50, to get 50% off. That's code solomonster50 at factormeals.com/solomonster50 to get 50% off. Now, Kevin Owens was out next. He was out to take a seat to lend his expert analysis for the main event between Randy Orton and Austin Theory. We got giddy, goofy Kevin Owens on commentary, which is always very entertaining. Orton went to go slam Theory on the announce desk. Grayson Waller pulled Theory away, and from there, Theory slammed Orton onto the desk, and then he did the Orton douche pose from the second row. Back in the ring. That took us into the final commercial break. The show came back. Theory had control back inside. He went to the top rope and Orton cut him off. And then we got a botch. We got a botch. Thankfully, nobody was hurt, unlike that leaping Spanish fly from the top rope that Theory did with Carmelo Hayes many weeks ago, where Theory got concussed. Nobody was hurt here. Orton was on the middle rope, and what happened is he went to go step up, because he does the top rope superplex. That's his signature. He does it in every match. So from the middle rope, he went to go take a step up to the top, but he slipped. Austin Theory must have figured, okay, he's on the top rope, or okay, he's in motion to go to the top. I'll start going over. So he started going over for the move, and what ended up happening is they both came down. It looked more like he gave Orton a blockbuster. And yet Orton was the one who popped up like nothing ever happened, and Theory was down selling the move. So it looked bad. Corey Graves tried to cover for it on commentary. You know, I mean, that's his job. He tried, but there was no covering up for that. It looked very dumb that Orton popped up from what looked like an offensive move that Theory gave him, but it is what it is. Yes, Theory gave himself a blockbuster. That's basically what happened. He bumped himself. So the action spilled outside. Orton slammed Theory on the announce desk. Orton then slammed Grayson Waller on the announce desk. And then back inside, Orton hit a draping DDT. Theory came back with a rolling blockbuster for a near fall. And then you go to the well one too many times, and unfortunately shit happens. Theory tried for another rolling blockbuster, but this time he got met by the waiting arms of Randy Orton, who was in position, and it was like this could not have gone any more perfectly than it did. As he is rolling in, he leaps up into the air and he realizes, oh shit, and Orton grabs him and catches him for the perfect RKO on the way down. Everybody went crazy for it, and Randy Orton covered him, got the pin. That was a thing of beauty. I love that spot. I love that spot so much. It's not at the top of the list of all-time great RKOs, but it's on the list of one of my favorite RKOs, I think. It was just perfect. So after the match, Waller attacked Orton. Owen said, I don't think so. He got in the ring to make the save. Theory and Waller turned their attention to him. Owens hit a stunner on Theory. Orton hit an RKO on Grayson Waller. And Orton gave Owens a fist bump. And the babyfaces celebrated to give us the happy ending as the show closed. I can't put it above, it's up there. I can't put it above the step up RKO on Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31. I think that still may be my all-time favorite. But this one is definitely on my list. It's up there. I just can't put it at the very top. The match itself was fine. I love the RKO spot, so the finish was great. Now, Logan Paul, they announced, is going to be back on the show next week. And it looks to me, now, there was no indication of any kind of friction or anything like that between Orton and KO. They shared a fist bump. Everything was cool between them. But I don't think it will be for much longer because they both have the same intent. Randy Orton wants revenge on Logan Paul for costing him the Elimination Chamber. Kevin Owens wants revenge on Logan Paul because he got screwed over at the Royal Rumble and punched in the face by Brass Knux. He wants to get his hands on this guy in the worst way. Something's got to give. So either they're going to have a match on television sometime in the next few weeks to crown a number one contender for the U.S. title of WrestleMania, or they're both going to challenge for the U.S. title, and we're going to get a triple threat match with Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. And that's going to be the match at WrestleMania, because otherwise, I don't know what you do with Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. I don't. I really don't. And I find it impossible to believe that this man, who has headlined night one of WrestleMania back-to-back years, is suddenly going to be in either some trivial, meaningless undercard match against a random person or not on the card at all. I can't imagine that. There's got to be some kind of meaningful role for him on the show this year. It won't be in the main event. We know that. We already know who the two main events are going to be at WrestleMania this year. It's not going to be the women, and it's not going to be Kevin Owens. It's not going to be Sami Zayn. But I can't imagine him not being in a match that has some sort of stakes or some kind of meaning this year. So it may end up being a triple threat match. But in any event, I thought that that capped off a very newsworthy, overall fun episode of SmackDown tonight. Again, it's hard to pull 40 minutes off of non-wrestling on a wrestling show. And there are plenty of times we've gotten segments that are maybe not 40 minutes, but long talking segments that I'm just begging for it to end. Tonight was not one of those nights. I thought that opening segment was great. I think that it just took this storyline to the next level. It kicked it into another gear, which it had to do. Now we actually got some forward movement because that's not official yet. Cody and Seth have to accept, but you know they're going to accept. I mean, Cody and Seth are not going to come out on TV next week and go, no, we have another counter proposal for you. Let's do some kind of scramble, weird fucking match. Like, no, it's going to be a tag team match. So at least now we know officially the direction they're going in here. The Rock and Roman stuff, the way they played that off tonight. Acknowledge me. Rock acknowledged him, but again, he put that L up. There's a reason for that. I love it. I love what they're doing. I'm glad that everything is on track and it's heading in the right direction. And I thought that was great. And again, we got the predictable but still newsworthy turn of Dakota Kai. Rey Mysterio is back. That sets things up for him and Santos at WrestleMania. And so far, so good with the two NXT call-ups. I'm not counting Jade because we don't know what she's doing yet, but Bron Breakker and Tiffany Stratton. So far, so good with the two of them. Bron is booked like a destroyer. Tiffany is, I mean, she fits right in to that women's division, which I knew she would. I mean, I think both of these call-ups were long overdue, especially Bron. And Bron is still in NXT, by the way. He's still not done. Tiffany is done. But Bron Breakker is still not done with NXT. Bron Breakker is still one half of the NXT Tag Team Champions with Baron Corbin. So that will probably wrap up WrestleMania weekend. But even still, he's doing stuff in NXT. There's a natural match for Tiffany and Bianca at WrestleMania, but I have a feeling Bianca and Jade together against the Kabukis. That might be it. Twitter poll. As Jeff Hardy blocks our view here. What did you think of SmackDown tonight with The Rock? 4 stars, 62.4% have given the show tonight the full 4 stars. Why 4 and not 5? Because Twitter only gives me 4 options. So that's about as good as it gets. It's 4 stars. 23%, 3 stars. 8%, 2 stars. And 6% give the show tonight 1 star. So that is a very happy audience, I think, for the show tonight. And deservedly so. Deservedly so. Again, it was a very fun episode, I thought, of the show tonight. Hey, Jeremy, thank you. Jeremy Rhodes. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it, brother. And everybody else, too, who has dropped a super chat here. You're going to see them popping up. I paused them there for a second. So we got a little backlog. Now, we've been having a weird issue here with them popping up on the side. And so if I skip over any, I will go back and make sure I get to whichever ones might not be listed here. So if there are none, if there are some that are not listed here, on, and I think they're all here, but if there are some that are not, and there may be, I'll go back and get those after, I promise. Well, let's get to the Jeff Hardy gif is real creepy to look at during nighttime. It's very creepy. That's why I picked it. Why do you think I picked it? It is very creepy. Hey, Isaiah. Isaiah Duzan with the $5 super chat. Isaiah, what's going on, man? He says, I got a call from my brother after work tonight telling me to wake my ass up at 4 a.m. on Sunday to go see Sting's last match. 339 miles away. I am excited. That's awesome. So you're going to be at the Greensboro Coliseum. It's going to be Sting's final match. And now you get to be there live. That's pretty cool, man. That is very cool. I'm getting a little bit of FOMO myself. I think it would have been cool to be in the building for that, but I'll be here to review the show when it's over with all of you. So, Isaiah, when the show's over, if you can duck in the live chat for the review, let us know how the show is live. ADTR 210. Thank you for the $20, ADTR. Hey, Solid Monster, love the podcast. It helps me get through overnight. Been watching WrestleMania X7. It is still my favorite WrestleMania ever. Where do you rank X7 in your list of all-time WrestleManias? I got it at number one, brother. I think still to this day, top to bottom, X7, it's a hard one to top. I don't think it gets much better than WrestleMania X7. Retro KOH, does Damian Priest cash in on Seth to injure Seth going into WrestleMania and ensure that the world title can at least have a match on the show? To injure him going into WrestleMania? Well, I mean, we already know the world title is going to have a match on the show. I'm not sure what you're getting at there. We already know it's going to be Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. So, we don't got to worry about that. There's going to be a world heavyweight title match either way. The Juliet. Love yours and good mic works collaboration earlier today. Fully agree with your number ones, but would not have complained your number twos were your number one. There's some people that have no idea what you're talking about, but you have to check out the video that we did. Again, it's up on Greg's channel, Good Mic Work Commentaries. Good Mic, M-I-C, Work. Good Mic Work. Go check it out. He does good content, and it was fun. It was fun ranking Brett's WrestleMania matches, and unfortunately there were some stinkers on that list. Interested to see if you guys agree with where we ranked each match. Tribal Kev, Rock's aura might just be the best in WWE history. I mean, look, he's one of the biggest stars in the world. People know who he is. He's involved not just in movies, but I mean, he's got tequila, and he's involved in a football league, and he's got movies, and he had Young Rock, which was canceled, but he had a television show on NBC, and now he's back in wrestling. This guy's everywhere. Everybody knows who he is, and so he's a big star. He's a big name. When you have a big name like that that comes back to wrestling, people take notice. So yeah, of course, you have fans who were lapsed, or maybe who aren't paying attention to the product right now, and they hear Rock is going to be back, and they're going to tune in. I'm not surprised by that. Booba says, damn, what a great show tonight. I might be biased because I was there. Going to listen on my way home. Also, is Rock right? Is wrestling cool again? Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that as someone who watches it and reviews it on a weekly basis, I would say that there was definitely a feeling of wrestling getting the cool factor back even before Rock came back. But he's a heel, so now he can come back and he can claim all the credit, right? I think all the CM Punk fans are probably pissed off that Rock is taking credit for making wrestling cool again, because they probably thought Punk did when he came back as Survivor Series. Now we'll get the Punk fans and the Rock fans arguing with each other. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the 20, Rodimus. Good to hear from you. Dakota Kai, turning on her partner is nothing new. It was bound to happen. Yeah, you know what? Another reason why you would think Bayley should have seen it coming. Maybe she doesn't watch NXT. One of the most obvious things all year, yet Bayley fell for it. Shaking my head. Well, it wouldn't be wrestling without some dumb baby faces, now would it? Chris AXC, thoughts on Tama Tonga to WWE. NXT bound with Gallows and Anderson, Judgment Day with Finn, SmackDown with AJ, Bloodline, or doing his own thing. I think it's either a little bit of a Bullet Club reunion or Bloodline. I think it's one or the other. I think they're going to want him as part of a faction. I don't think they're going to have him by himself. So take your pick. I mean, he's got history there. Again, one of the founding fathers of Bullet Club. And you've got Gallows and Anderson in NXT right now. You've got AJ. You've got Finn. And then you've got the Bloodline crew. He would fit in with either one of them. But I just have a feeling they're not going to have him by himself. This journey called life. How did you feel when Rock cooked Dave LaGreca? I loved it. I don't know what the hell LaGreca was wearing in that video. That when Rock showed the footage of him in the bathrobe, he looked like my fucking grandmother. The fuck was he wearing? I would have cooked him too. The only thing he was missing were the glasses with the chain hanging from them. And some crossword puzzles for him to do. What the hell was he wearing in that video? I think he cooked himself. Rock didn't have to do much. Chris AXC, also, what's with TNA and New Japan giving WWE cast-offs belts right away? Don't you think that makes these companies look less than their own talents worse? Yeah, I'm not a fan of going overboard with it. If it were one person, that would be one thing. I mean, look, at least they didn't put the TNA title on Nick Nemeth right away, right? They're building to it, so. But Ghetto, man, Ghetto loves his ex-WWE guys, you know? You got Matt Riddle with a belt, Nemeth with a belt. It's ridiculous. But in their case, I think they're trying to appeal more to the international crowd. I don't know how much Nick Nemeth is going to mean to their, you know, international tickets. I don't fault them for trying something because their business right now needs a boost. I mean, they need a shot in the arm. They just lost two of their best talents. In fact, I would say their two best talents they just lost. Okada and Will Ospreay. That is a mortal blow. And they lost Tama Tonga. Now, Tama Tonga was not as important in the pecking order there as Okada was or Ospreay was. But Tama Tonga spent 14 years in New Japan and was a multiple-time champion and was a mainstay in that company. They lost him, Okada, and Ospreay, one right after the other. You know, I mean, Tanahashi, he's hurt again. You know, Tanahashi, it feels like he's on his last legs. I mean, he can only do so much. His body has just completely broken down. Naito? Naito's not that much better, honestly. So they got some real problems right now in New Japan. They're trying different things. They're trying to get something going. And, you know, business right now, it's just not where they want it to be. But that's what happens when you fail to create new stars quick enough. They have a lot of these young guys that are very talented. And maybe, you know, one day in the not too distant future, maybe they'll be champions, you know, top champions in the company. They have, you know, Shota Umino and they have, I mean, I don't know. Yota Tsuji is very impressive when I watch him. Umino may be the one, though, who advances the quickest. Yeah, I talked about this in the podcast last week. I said there's a story there with the history with him and Jon Moxley. You know, I mean, the way their relationship has sort of evolved over the years. I could see them putting the IWGP title on Moxley in April. They're going to be in Chicago. Right after WrestleMania, the week after WrestleMania, they're going to be in Chicago, right? The Windy City Riot. And it's going to be Moxley and Naito for the IWGP title if Naito is still champion. I think they're going to put the belt on Moxley. I think they're going to put the belt on Mox. But it may just be brief. And when they get to Forbidden Door, I could see Moxley dropping the belt to someone there. Could be Umino. How's that for a story? Now, is he ready for that spot? I don't know. I don't know if he's ready for that spot. But they got to try something. Can't fault them for trying. Alex says, Brother Solo, assuming Cody and Seth lose on night one, what role do you think Triple H will play on the night two main event? Physically none. I don't see him doing anything physical. But could he send someone out there to even the odds if there's a ton of interference? Yeah. Maybe he sends somebody out there. But, I mean, if we're talking about him doing something physical, I wouldn't count on it. Duff's Vids, do you think that the explanation The Rock gave... Actually, you know what? Let me go back to that for a second. Triple H can't work a match, okay? We know that. He's retired, and he's got the heart issues, and it's too risky. Like, he's not going to wrestle a match. But could Triple H come out? Because Rock has really been talking shit about, I'm the boss, you know, I'm the one that counts. There's no VP, there's no general manager that can, you know, rule over me. Could they be building to a spot? Since they never did get to work that match in Dallas years ago. I guess it would have been 8 years ago at this point. Where Triple H comes out and gets physical in that he throws some punches at The Rock. Like him and Rock throw, you know, punches at each other. Alright, maybe. Maybe I could see that. That might be the extent to which I would see Triple H getting physical. We get a little back and forth with him and Rock. But him, like, taking bumps, you know, getting knocked down, taking a rock bottom or something. I can't see it. I just can't see it. Duff's Vids says, do you think that the explanation The Rock gave that Cody just changed his mind in Vegas will make Cody look selfish to the fans and make Cody look bad and turn some fans? Thank you for all your work. No, I don't. I think you have some fans that don't like Cody who would have rather seen Rock and Roman who are going to boo Cody anyway. You're not going to change those people's minds. But, you know, as far as are people going to look at Cody as being selfish? I don't think so, because if you think back to what happened in Vegas, it was a love fest between Rock and Roman, and they're talking about their family being the dominant family. You know, they were being heelish. They were kind of just putting themselves over. And Cody just got sick of it and said, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. You know, I was stepping aside out of respect. And you're out here talking about how, you know, you're basically the only royal family in wrestling. And Cody's theme song says, you know, there's more than one royal family in wrestling. And he just couldn't take it anymore. So he said, no, you know what? On second thought, I am going to take my match. I am going to stake my claim. And I'm going to finish my story. It's not selfish. He has that right. He won the Royal Rumble. He should be going to the main event of WrestleMania. Had Cody not done that, you would have had people go, man, what a fucking geek. So I don't think it's going to turn anybody against Cody Rhodes. Nobody who isn't already against him is going to suddenly turn on Cody Rhodes. El Masse with the $15. First year of dental school has been hell so far, but glad that it is WrestleMania season to keep me distracted. Hope all is well, and hope to catch a hog show in the near future. Well, we got one coming up tomorrow night. And it's a pretty good one, too. So, if you're around, check it out. Triller TV. That's the new name for Fight. Base Beerus, God of Seduction. Says Rock and Roman versus Cody and Brock would have been great. Brock would have really put the bloodline on the defensive if he joined in the mix. Also, going to put you on the spot, buy or sell, Ripley or Charlotte. GWO. Shout out to the GWO in the chat. Our little Green World Order. Memberships are open, by the way. Ripley or Charlotte? Ripley. Rhea Ripley. As far as Brock, no. We were promised, never again, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I'm going to hold him to that. So, no. Kells with the $40. Holy shit, Kells, thank you. If Cody goes over at WrestleMania, what does he do after, and how long of a run would you give him? At least 6 months. I don't know who his first feud is going to be with, but I definitely want to see him and Randy Orton mix it up. I think that's a match you have to do. I think that Cody and AJ is a feud they have to do. AJ did an interview. I don't know if it was a podcast or what it was in the last couple of weeks. And he made the comment. He said he needs to be the champion one more time before he retires. He didn't say when he was going to be retiring. He just said that, you know, it's coming soon, and he needs to be WWE champion one more time. I'm down for it. So if they want to do Cody and AJ, I think that'd be great. But right now they're on opposite show. Well, actually, if Cody wins the title, though, he'd be on SmackDown, so it's perfect. I mean, everything is set up perfectly for him to go to SmackDown. If AJ stays there, if they do a draft, and if Orton stays there, you've already got those two on the show. It's perfect. Bron Breakker is an interesting name that I think of, but I just think it would be too soon to even think about that. But if Cody were to hold the belt long enough, I mean, I could see him and Bron mixing it up maybe later in the year. Maybe next year, early next year. I could see it. Barry MK 400. How do you feel about Izzy, Bayley's fan from her NXT days, helping her at WrestleMania? Also, have you seen Izzy wrestling? I know she wrestles. I have not seen one of her matches. I had not even given any thought to the possibility of her coming in to back up Bayley. I mean, I guess in a way that would be kind of cool, but I mean, that's, you know, to send her from the indies to a spot like that at WrestleMania, I mean, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know that she's ready for that. Only if she turns on Bailey. But then Bailey would look extra stupid because Dakota already turned on her. You're going to have another person turn on her? But I said years ago when I was reviewing NXT and I was talking about Izzy and Bailey, I said one day this girl is going to grow up and she is going to turn against Bailey in a violent way. And now she's wrestling and now it's actually possible that it could happen. But I mean, that would be a spot to put her in at WrestleMania that I just don't know that she's... Yeah. I don't know that she's ready for that. Booba says, one more thing. How was our Arizona crowd? Crowd was great. It was very loud all night long, so... Good job, Glendale. Kells with the $28 says, oh, and your thoughts on a women's mid-card title? I think we need one. I've proposed ditching the tag team titles and having a women's intercontinental title. I think that's the way to go. Base Beerus says, Prince or Michael Jackson? Wrong answers only. Well, I'll give you the right answer. The right answer is Michael Jackson. A. Lavelle with the $20. What's going on, A. Lavelle? What's up, Solid Monster? Hope you are doing well. Just wanted to say thank you for all your hard work. Also, great collaboration with you and Greg from Good Mic Work. Hope to see more videos with the both of you. Bret Hart is the GOAT. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we both had fun doing that video, so check it out. I also put a link to it in the community tab. I don't post in there enough, but the community tab here on this channel where I put posts, I link to the video there as well. Jeremy Rose, will Cross finally get over versus Lashley? No. Edwin Garcia with the $9.99. If done correctly, Priest can be a great champion for the Hispanic community. He doesn't have the stereotypical Hispanic mid-card gimmick. I think he is the best bet for a credible Hispanic world champion. I think Damian Priest would be a fine champion. There's still some people, apparently, who don't think he's ready or they can't see him in that position. I think he's more than proven himself to be worthy of being a world champion one day. I really don't see what the issue is. So, I agree. I think he would be a fine champion. Orioles peak. Surprised WWE has been able to sell out so much lately since only poor people watch them. Seriously, feels like WWE lucked into a great story with what was it that Meltzer said? Was it poor people don't watch AEW? Was that what he said? I don't know that I believe that. Barry says WrestleMania 21 is my favorite WrestleMania. That was the first WrestleMania Goes Hollywood. I love the vignettes. I love those Hollywood vignettes for that show. Orioles Peak again says, crazy that Seth could lose twice at WrestleMania. Is he a loser? Yes, I think he will be. Give me back shot, Solomonster. With the $5 super chat, when's the last time WWE had a real personal women's feud like an Edge Seth or Swerve Hangman? I would like to see that happen with Bianca and Tiffany. Like a super personal feud. I think that's what they were going for with Becky and Trish, but it never really felt that personal. So I don't know. What the last one I would really consider like super personally, honestly, Ronda and Becky. And then we never even got a singles match. But the back and forth between them on social media and on the mic, it got pretty personal between them. But we never got the payoff with a singles match. Luis joining us tonight. I know it's not an issue with WNYW. That's the Fox affiliate here in New York. And KTTV. I assume that's the Fox affiliate in Los Angeles where he lives. Because they have to follow regulation. But Fox took the censorship to a whole new level. Screw The Rock. I love how he blended those two together, like talking about Fox censoring the show, and then he says, oh, by the way, fuck The Rock. Thank you, Luis. This journey called life, Punk took to his Instagram story and said, F you to The Rock. Did he? I didn't see. Base Beerus says, give me Bat Shots Stinger. Wolfpack Sting is cool. A lot of people like Wolfpack Sting. Even though Sting being in the NWO is completely antithetical to what that whole storyline was about, where Sting was trying to rescue WCW from the NWO. I mean, basically, that's what he was trying to do. But what the hell, I guess, right? People thought it was cool seeing him in the red face paint. Faisal, again, man, with the $50 Super Chat bomb. Holy crap.
Yowie wowie.
That deserves a yowie wowie. Yes, indeed. Does Rock promising to get the world title off of Seth for butting into their business lead to the Bloodline temporarily aligning with Judgment Day, ambushing Rollins sometime before WrestleMania, allowing Damian Priest to cash in successfully? That's interesting. This would be interesting, because if you remember, Paul Heyman and Rhea Ripley, now we're going back. Now we're going back to a time WWE probably doesn't even remember. Hey, Mystiff, you're awesome too, thank you. But remember, they forged an alliance some time ago. And then after that, it was never spoken of again. So maybe there is still kind of a loose alliance there between the Judgment Day and the Bloodline, and yeah, maybe. I could see them working together. I could see that. In fact, I almost forgot about that until you just brought it up. It made me think of the whole thing with Rhea and Paul Heyman. How long ago was that, though? That had to be the fall, right? That was probably end of summer, early fall. Luis again, also KTTV, Fox 11 wasn't working on Sling for me at times throughout the day. Guess someone needs a new web browser, can't enjoy SmackDown at all. Thank you, Luis. Alan, do you think anything other than a clean win for Cody on night 2 cheapens his win? Like, oh wow, Cody needed help to take down Big Bad Roman. Well, look, I've been saying that for a while, that Cody, it can't be a situation where The Rock wins for Cody or someone else wins for Cody. If someone were to take out the Bloodline and make it a fair fight, that's fine, because then Cody still has to go win on his own. What I don't want is someone coming in and hitting a rock bottom on Roman Reigns or a stunner on Roman Reigns or getting physical with Roman. And then that leads into the finish where Cody hits the crossroads and wins. That would be terrible. Because that's exactly what you're talking about. That cannot happen. But if someone were to come in to try to help Cody and even the odds a little bit, make it a fair fight, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you got to walk that fine line. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. And that would be the wrong way to do it. Brock Benningfield. Thank you for the $4.99, Brock. This Brock is not canceled. Devin from NJ, Devin from NJ. If Hogan told you 2 + 2 = 4, would you believe him? No, I would not. No, I would not. If his lips are moving and the Fu Manchu is moving, he's lying. He's lying about something. Libido Bell, I wrote a song about Hollywood Rock in 2023 and then Rock turns heel in 2024. The timing could not be any more perfect. Best wrestling rap on YouTube. Well, be sure to link me. I'll give that a listen. Richie, is Steve Austin going to wrestle CM Punk? Maybe, but not this year. I'm not going to tell you it's never going to happen. If you're asking me, is it going to happen this year? I don't think so. I don't think so. J-Ray, thank you for the 5. J-Ray, what's going on? buy or sell? Which fantasy matchup are you headlining your pay-per-view with, and which one has no chance? Sting versus The Undertaker or Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle? I'm headlining with Bret Hart versus Kurt Angle. We're talking about their primes. I'm headlining with Bret versus Kurt, but that's me. I think Undertaker and Sting would be the more marketable match. So if I wanted to sell more pay-per-views, then I would headline with Sting and Undertaker. But if I just wanted to headline with what I thought would be the best match, I'm headlining with Bret versus Kurt. But why not do both? Why not do both matches? Have a double main event. How about that? We'll have a double main event. Paul Carpenter. They should push Theory one more time. Have him wrestle Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I saw Theory and Randy more than I did Theory in Cena. One thing that Austin Theory is very good at is selling. I love the way he sold the RKO tonight, by the way. I mean, there are elements of his work. I could see that, where I see that a little bit of Randy Orton in him, I guess. It's not his work, though. His in-ring work is not the issue. He's a solid in-ring worker. It's just the personality and the character. They have not brought out of him, so whatever may be in him has not yet been brought out to make him an interesting, compelling figure on the show. Now, he's been a heel for most of the time that he's, maybe the entire time, that he's been on the main roster. I'm not so sure if they turned him babyface it would be any different. I just think there could be something there. We haven't seen it yet. His work is not the issue, though. His work is actually very good. I have no issue with his work. I have an issue with his personality just not being interesting. Mystic J 44, what's happening, Solo Monster? With the positive reception that Tiffany has been getting lately, do you think it might be too early to try and turn her face? Absolutely, no. Yeah, you don't do that. There may come a point where you have no choice, but it's still early yet. She doesn't... This character does not lend itself to her being a babyface. I don't know, it just doesn't work. Richie... The Royal Rumble 2002 promo with Vince and Flair is now disturbing to watch. You would have to see it to know what I'm talking about. I can only imagine. I'm sure there are a lot of Vince McMahon segments that have not aged well if I went back and watched them. Chris Miner. Bad Bunny against Damian Priest. Is it the best celebrity match ever? You know what? It may be. It may be. Logan Paul has had some great matches, but you consider him like a big, big celebrity? Probably not. I love that Damian Priest Bad Bunny match, though. I loved it. It was in my top 10 matches of the year last year. I think I had it at number 7 or number 8. It was great. And I think that's the match that earned Damian Priest a lot of brownie points behind the scenes and earned him a lot of trust from the people in that company. And he deserves a lot of credit for that match. He really does. And there was a lot of interference. There was a lot of smoke and mirrors and stuff and run-ins, but it was just fun. Was just a fun match. So is it the best celebrity match ever? Yeah, I think it was. I think so. Bleed Boston. Is there any chance that you see Becky knocking Rhea off at WrestleMania? If Becky wins, I feel like Rhea is over to the point where most fans would boo Becky. Well, if they wanted to do a double turn, then go ahead and have Becky win. I don't think she's going to. I don't think she should, though. I think Rhea should go over. But I think you're right. I think if they wanted to pull off a double turn at WrestleMania, there's a way to do it, and people would boo Becky. They would cheer Rhea, and they would boo Becky. Thing is, though, we already had heel Becky, and I wasn't really enamored with it. Do we really want to go right back to that again? It's not going to happen anyway. She's got a book coming out. Literally the week before WrestleMania, I think. She has a book coming out, so... I don't see her turning heel anytime soon. Barry says, WWE saving the Stone Cold trailer to open the actual WrestleMania 21 show was so cool. That's right. It was Austin in Gladiator. I'm telling you, man, those were awesome. I mean, you had the Basic Instinct one, which will never be shown again for obvious reasons. Undertaker and Dirty Harry. You had Eddie and... Was it Eddie and Booker in the Pulp Fiction one? Kurt Angle and Christy Hemme in the When Harry Met Sally. Triple H and Ric Flair in Braveheart. You had that one with all the different wrestlers in the Taxi Driver one, right? You looking at me? You talking to me? What other ones did they do? Was that it? I feel like I'm missing one. I may be missing one. I love those videos. Alex says, Brother Solo, what is the technical definition of full-time wrestler? Does it mean competing in live event shows? I don't think there is an exact definition to it. It's just somebody who is working on a regular basis. So if you're like super part-time, you're making an appearance for one match and then disappearing for months at a time. If you're full-time, you have a regular reoccurring presence on the show and you're wrestling on a regular recurring basis. That doesn't mean you're wrestling every week. It doesn't mean you're working house shows necessarily. You just kind of know if someone's full-time or if someone's part-time or less than part-time, right? You just kind of know. Base Beer says, Kevin Federline was the best heel of all time. Well, that's just absolute nonsense. Oh, yes. How could I forget? JBL and Cena and A Few Good Men. That's right. Forgot that one. I knew I forgot one. Yuri says, Solo for WWE Booker. Stays calling angles. I'm pitching stuff left and right. I'm always pitching ideas. It's part of what I love here on these shows, especially when they come true. We got Prince Vegeta. Will we see Drew McIntyre getting involved in segments with the Bloodline since he is feuding with Rollins and he beat Cody a week ago? I don't see it, but I mean, maybe if we got one on TV, it's possible. I mean, they would have to show up on Raw, though. I don't really see a need for him to show up on SmackDown. GMB, Bianca is too much of the face of the company. Can't see her as a heel. Yuri says, who's the least problematic big star wrestler of all time? Is it Sting? Is it Bob Backlund? Is it Brett? Well, we can't say it's Brett. Unfortunately, we cannot say that it's Bret Hart. Like a megastar slash champion with no smear on their name. Mick Foley, I think, belongs on that list. Before all of this, I probably would have had Rock on the list. Foley would be on there. Sting would be on there. I've never heard a bad story about Sting. I've never heard about Sting being problematic. Honestly, in any of the companies he's ever been in. WCW, WWE, TNA, AEW. Sting has always come across to me as the consummate professional. And especially in this AEW run. He's willing to kind of go with the flow and be part of the team. And there aren't too many big names like that that I would think of and say, well, I can't think of a single story about them, you know, playing politics or there being an issue one time with that one match or something. Sting and Foley are on that list. And I know there are others, but those are the two that stand out to me. Cody Rhodes is on that list. Yeah, but Cody Rhodes is still building his resume as like a top, top guy. He's still relatively new to all this. Cody will be on that list, though. Bryan Danielson. Yes, of course. Absolutely. Bryan Danielson. For sure. Luis says, I see an 8-man tag between Legado del Fantasma and the LWO for WrestleMania. An 8-man tag? So you're including Escobar and Rey in that? I don't see that at all. Jazz Jackrabbit. Now, do you believe, I will have you know, I've been reading Jazz's name off on these super chats now for months. And it did not occur to me. I was playing with my retro handheld, the Miyu Mini. I've told you guys about that. I'm still setting it up. I was going through the list of games on there. And I came across a game called Jazz Jackrabbit. And I said, holy shit. I had no idea that's where it was from. I thought he just came up with that as a name. I didn't know that it was based off of a video game. So I learned something new this week. So you're never too old to learn something new. It says, you and Greg had winged eagles. Time for a unification. Well, I got two eagles on the wall behind me. This is the winged one, and then the big one is next to that one. I think I have the better one of the two. Jazz, thank you. Never played the game, but now I know that it's an actual video game. Not a video game? What do you mean, not a video game? I just told you it's a game. All right, let's get to the other super chats now that we're not on that list. These are the ones that came in earlier. Some of them came in before I went live. And I want to send my condolences to Giandre King Cannon. He dropped a super chat, says, was looking forward to SmackDown tonight. His grandmother passed away an hour before the show. And so he was not in the mood to watch. So my thoughts are with him. Our condolences here from everybody in the chat. I'm very sorry to hear that. So we're thinking about you, brother. Boots. What's going on, Boots? Thank you for the $5. Boots says, is the House of Glory pay-per-view available to purchase without the Triller TV Plus monthly subscription? I see the buy button for AEW and TNA pay-per-views, but not for Hog. As far as I know, I believe you need the subscription. Because on all the literature that I have seen, and I think on the page itself, which, you know what, let me bring it up here. I actually have the preview page. And yes. You do need the Triller TV Plus subscription. I think you get a bunch of different things with it. But that is how you can watch House of Glory Reckoning. You can watch House of Glory Reckoning tomorrow night. It's actually an earlier than usual show, 6 p.m. Eastern. But it will be live at 6 o'clock Eastern tomorrow. We got some big matches on that show, man. We got Penta. Somehow, Penta is going to be on AEW Collision. And in House of Glory on the same night. It's amazing. It's like magic. He's going to be challenging Mike Santana for the House of Glory World Championship. We have Mustafa Ali is making his Hog debut. The brand new TNA X Division champion is coming to Hog, wrestling the former TNA World Champion, Alex Shelley. And guess who else is coming to House of Glory? You don't see him on the graphic there. But we got Danhausen. That's right, Danhausen is coming to Hog. I'm going to find myself in the same location with Danhausen. I'm dreading this Danhausen. I feel like I'm already under a curse. I woke up today, went to go put the laptop on, which is always plugged in. I basically, it's like a desktop computer. It doesn't go anywhere. But the battery was drained. What the fuck? The battery was drained. How the hell does that happen when it's plugged in? So that scared the shit out of me because I thought, you know, we got SmackDown tonight. We got a pay-per-view this weekend, a podcast to do. I can't afford for this thing to not work. I still haven't figured out why that happened, but it's working now. I may have to buy a spare battery. Anyway, so that happens, right? I have that battery issue. Then I get in the car earlier. The car won't start. I just changed the battery in the car 2 months ago. Why is the car not starting? Eventually it started, but now it's like very weak when it goes on. I don't know, maybe it's the alternator. I don't know what the issue is. I think Danhausen may have already put a curse on me in advance of the show tomorrow. I've had nothing but battery issues all day today. This is horrible. I'm going to ask him to take the curse off of me when I see him tomorrow. That is if I can make it to the show. I may have to take an Uber to the show if my car won't start. This is ridiculous. Anyway, keeping your laptop plugged in destroys the battery. Look, I've heard the same thing, brother. I've done that for years. I've never had an issue. Never had an issue with any of the laptops I've ever had. They're always plugged in, including this one for 3 years, and not once have I had an issue with the battery. It doesn't make any sense. The battery is in good condition, by the way. I have like a diagnostic thing on here. It says your battery is in good condition. So I don't understand it. It's a Lenovo, by the way. It's a Lenovo Legion. This thing's a powerhouse, man. It's actually a gaming laptop because I wanted that extra power for when I do the streams. It's a Lenovo Legion 7. I don't get it. I may find a battery and buy it just to have. It's like $60, you know, just to have it, just in case. I mean, you don't ever want to find yourself in a situation where the computer won't go on. Anyway, so yeah, that's tomorrow night. Zay97, my friend and I were debating whether Roman is a household name or not. To me, a household name is someone that any non-WWE fan knows of. Cena, Rock, Austin, and I don't think Roman is on that list. Roman is not a household name yet. He could get there. There are people who know who Roman Reigns is, but not at the level of the names that you just mentioned. He's not there yet. I think he will be, though. I can't see Roman Reigns not being in movies. I always thought that he would end up in movies. He's going to end up just like John Cena. He's going to end up in movies. And eventually he may end up being a household name. Boobah says, was at the show tonight in Glendale. I almost missed The Rock, though. I was busy smoking rocks in my truck before the show. Well, you see, there you go. The Rock knew exactly what he was talking about. All you crackheads over there. Terrible. Rock knew exactly what he was talking about. Oh, look at this. It's good mic work commentaries. Literally just tuned in to hear you mention me. Just wanted to say thanks again for yesterday. That was my pleasure, man. It was good to be on with you. Again, shout out to good mic work. Thank you, by the way, for that super chat. It's very nice of you. Everybody go check that video out when you're done here. Me and him talking Bret Hart matches at WrestleMania for an hour. What's not to like? What's not to like? It's like the mega powers coming together as one. You'll love to see it. Thank you, Greg. Josh Carlos 98. Do you think if Austin never got hurt at SummerSlam, would he be the world champion prior to WrestleMania 14 or have a long intercontinental title run? I think the plan was always for Austin to win the title of WrestleMania 14. So that would not have changed. The only thing that would have been different is that he would have been the Intercontinental Champion from SummerSlam until the end of the year. And then he would have given the belt up the same way that he did. And he would have gone to WrestleMania. Look, I've always said that if Montreal didn't go down the way it did, and if Bret had held on to the WWF title, it would have been Bret putting Austin over at WrestleMania. They had feuded before. Austin never beat Bret. He may have beaten him by DQ or something at like an In Your House, but he never pinned him. He never beat Bret. And I think Bret would have done the honors for Austin because he thought a lot of Austin and got along well with him and respected him. And I think at WrestleMania 14, it would have been Bret dropping the belt to Steve Austin. Now, what that means for Shawn Michaels, I don't know. But I think that Bret would have been the one doing the job for Austin at that WrestleMania, had things worked out differently and if he would have stayed. Jeremy Rose, how do you think WWE splits up the tag team belts? My thought is a ladder match with each set available and two different teams win a set. A ladder match. Yeah, I guess that would probably be the easiest way to do that. Or they could just, well, I mean, if they just separate them and then, but how do you decide the existing champions, which set of belts they get? Unless they just say, I want to, well, you know what? They never did make new belts. So we still have the red belts and the blue belts. So I guess what they would do, actually the simplest way to do it probably, would be if, let's say, Finn Balor and Damian Priest, right? Let's say that they're still the tag team champions. They're on Monday Night Raw. So it would be as simple as they become the Raw Tag Team Champions. And now for the SmackDown Tag Belts, they're vacant, and you have some kind of a tournament or a match to crown new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. It could be as simple as that. Am I on Windows 10 or Windows 11? I'm on Windows 11. I'm on the latest Windows. But again, the battery thing, it's very, very weird. And you could see, too, because I have like a diagnostic app that will track the battery health like by the hour, and you see that when I shut, and again, it's not totally shut down, it's in sleep mode, but you know, when I shut down for the night at like 1 a.m., you know, it's at peak performance, and then at like 3, it just starts to drop and drop and drop and drop until the morning when I put it on and it was at 0. And I said, how the hell did that happen? So it's just very bizarre. Very weird. WrestleVotes confirmed earlier this week that new belts have been made. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, I've been hearing things about these new tag belts now for 2 years. There have been other people that have said that there are new tag belts that have yet to be unveiled. They've been sitting in a warehouse somewhere. We still haven't seen them. So I'll believe it when I see it. Prince Vegeta. So if Cody wins night one, he has less of a chance to win night two. Doubt they want Roman to lose back-to-back nights. Rock and Roman are going to win night one. Cody's going to win night two. Josh Carlos. Seeing parallels between Brett Yoko doing double duty like Roman and Cody, except on two separate nights instead of one. Hope there is no ref pushing on night one. Oh, yeah. Like Mr. Perfect, huh? That'd be pretty lame. We got a referee calling for the disqualification of one of those matches. Josh also says, buy or sell Undertaker Shawn Michaels WrestleMania 25 or Hart Austin at WrestleMania 13. To me, those are the two best matches in WrestleMania history. And you could go either way with them, honestly. I think Austin and Brett at WrestleMania 13 is one of the greatest matches in the history of that company. And it may be the most important match. It's certainly up there among the most important matches in the history of that company. Undertaker and Shawn Michaels is a fantastic match. It doesn't have the same historical significance that Brett and Austin have for their match. So, I honestly could take either one of them. I could take either one. I love both matches very, very much. I think they're both fantastic. I think they both have great replay value, more so Brett and Austin. I think they both have great replay value. Brett Austin, far more significant. But I love them both. I can't choose. Chris Minor, Cody is going to win at WrestleMania whether he wants to or not. That's right. Crypto and poker, Cody wins night one and Rock still screws Cody on night two. I think that would be terrible. I think that would be very, 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 very bad. Shin Superkick Akuma. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. Says it's been a while, but I've never left. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I hope you're doing well. Bleed Boston. Acknowledge me between Roman and Rock was perfectly executed, in my opinion. Best possible way to make Roman finally stop feeling like little brother and tease the eventual Rock turning on Roman at WrestleMania. I thought it was great. I think the way they pulled that off was excellent. Nick Grosso, thank you for the $20. Nick, great segment with Rock and Roman. At first, I wasn't too crazy about the tag match, but after tonight, I am very interested, and I think Rock and Roman go over on night one. And The Rock costs Roman on night two. I think that is a very smart prediction. And Drew Johnson says, I acknowledge you. I have been acknowledged. by Drew. See, Roman is not the only one to be acknowledged tonight. Thank you, Drew. The Data and Boys podcast. I don't know if you covered it, but supposedly Fox was trying to censor a Die Rocky Die sign. I did cover it earlier. I think I made my thoughts pretty clear about that. Deb to Dust. You give me Jerry Seinfeld vibes. Why do I give you Seinfeld vibes? That's my Seinfeld impression. Okay, apparently I give him Jerry Seinfeld vibes. I wish I made the kind of money that Jerry Seinfeld made. I'd be very happy. I'd be in my brand new studio right now if I made Jerry Seinfeld money. And Nico with the $9.99. What if Roman and Rock win night one, but night two, Rock either betrays Roman or Cody gets some backup from someone and Cody wins? Which makes more sense? Again, what makes the most sense is Roman and Rock get a win on night one. And not only that, but you have Rock win. I think you could have Rock win, and when Roman loses, but again, it depends if Rock turns on him, right? Maybe there's no turn, but maybe Roman loses. And Rock can turn around and say, you've disgraced the bloodline. You've disgraced the family. I won on night one. I got you your tribal rules match, your bloodline rules match, and you failed. You've disgraced the family, right? Could work it that way too. So I think Rock Roman with Rock getting the win on night one makes more sense, and then Cody wins on night two. There you go. Boom. I just booked WrestleMania for you. All right, now we're caught up. No, we're not. Dev to Dust. I thought we were. A few more here. Yuri, the first finisher that popped you as a kid. The leg drop. The Hogan leg drop. Had to be that. Dev to Dust, what are your thoughts on the WrestleMania theme from 9 through 13, a.k.a. Linda McMahon's theme? I love it. It's one of my favorite themes. I wish they never got rid of it. It's the WrestleMania rap from WrestleMania 9. Linda's version was the instrumental version. I still to this day don't understand, though, at the very beginning of that song, if you listen to the full song, they have a clip in there from Roddy Piper. I'm pretty sure it's Piper. What did he say? He says something about, are you ready for the Survivor Series? And then you hear Mean Gene. It's like a soundbite from Mean Gene going, who will survive? And then it goes into a WrestleMania rap. Like, that's never made any sense to me. Why would they be talking about Survivor Series? Doesn't make sense. Chris Manson. With all these little brother comments over the past few weeks, the WrestleMania theme song should be Yo Little Brother by Nolan Thomas. It's a great song. Underrated piece of music. Nick Grosso says, rest in peace, Paul Butcher Vachon. I did have a graphic up for him. Had to rush that together. Thank you to Steve Mello. Unfortunately, we have three in memoriam graphics to kick off the stream tonight. Three wrestler deaths in 1 week. Ole Anderson, Virgil, and Butcher Vachon. And that's not even mentioning Richard Lewis passed away this week. And Will Chisholm, when is the last time that we heard the word crack that much on any TV show? This much. I haven't heard crack this much on TV since I watched Cops. It's probably been a while. Now we're caught up. Well, you guys killed it tonight. And the goal tonight for Be the Booker was 500 likes. I thought I was being a little ambitious. And we are closing in. We're not there yet, but we're closing in on 700 likes just during the live stream alone. So let's see if we can get there. We're only about 10 or 12 away from 700. So let's see if you guys can get me there. And while you do that, I'm going to do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Be the Booker. We're closing out the week. Actually, you know what? We're not closing out the week. We are not closing out the week because we have a pay-per-view on Sunday, don't we? Yes, we do. So I guess that would, well, I don't know. Would that technically be part of this week? When do you consider the week to be over? I consider the week to be over on Sunday night. And then we start over again on Monday. So that would technically still be part of this week. All right, so we got one more stream left. We'll see if we do a Be the Booker for the Revolution stream. But tonight we're going to start with the women. We usually start with the tag teams. I wanted to start a little bit differently here. So we will start with ladies Be the Booker. And we're going to kick things off here with Allison Kay. There she is. Allison Kay. I don't know where Allison Kay is right now. I know she was in the NWA for a while. This image, she had some matches in AEW. I don't know where she calls home right now, but Allison Kay. And on the other side of the ring, we have Awesome Kong. Fine match. I think that's a respectable match. Allison Kay and Awesome Kong. Who? Are you talking about Allison Kay? Google it. Google is your friend. You can Google it and find out who she is. All right, now we go to tag teams. No, we're not picking the real Americans. Let's take this for a spin. All right, tag team, Be the Booker. Sunday is the last day of the week. See, I knew I wasn't crazy. The only thing is, I'm probably not even going to go live until Monday morning, technically. You know how these AEW pay-per-views are. That fucking show is going to be 4.5 hours. So technically, if we do Be the Booker, it'll be early Monday morning. So now we're getting into like one of these philosophical questions. Like, it's still part of last week. Technically, it's not. It's part of the new week. I don't know. I don't know. All right. We got the Spirit Squad. Look at these goobers. We got Mikey, we got Nikki, we got Mitch. We got this guy on the end. I don't even know what his name is. Right. I know we have Mitch. We have Nikki. One of these is Mikey. Two of these guys, I have no idea who they are. I have no idea who they are. Anyway, Spirit Squad. All right, let's see. Spirit Squad. I got my finger on the buzzer already. Spirit Squad against Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. Kenny, that's right, Kenny Dykstra. All right. We'll give it the bell. I actually think that would be a pretty decent match. I should have given it the buzzer. I gave it the bell. I'm feeling generous tonight. And now the main event. Clean sweep, right? We're getting a clean sweep tonight. I feel good about this. We had a sweep on Monday. We had a sweep on Wednesday. I think we're going to get a sweep tonight, too. We're going to carry this momentum into Sunday. Here we go. Be the Booker. We begin with Chris Jericho has infected our main event. He's everywhere, this guy. Who do you think's going to want to work with Okada in his first feud when he debuts in AEW? You don't think we're not going to get the Painmaker and the Rainmaker? Keep him far away from Okada. All right. Let's see what we got here. Chris Jericho against who? Find out. Chris Jericho against Kofi Kingston in the main event of our show. Former WWE champion Kofi Kingston. I don't know. I'm torn. What do you guys think? Got to make a decision here. I don't know about this. That doesn't scream main event to me. I don't know, man. I don't know. Hell yes. I don't know. This doesn't scream main event to me. Yeah, this screams like Intercontinental title match on Raw, second match in 2008 to me. I'm sorry. I can't do it. My standards are at a certain level here, okay, for this Be the Booker segment here. I can't just be giving the bell to any match. I'm sorry. That's not a bell. That's a buzzer. And that ruins what would have been yet another sweep. We were close. It was not meant to be. I got to draw the line somewhere. Can't do it. Jeremy Rose, do you think that we see Rikishi at WrestleMania? I think there's a very good chance we are going to see some Bloodline family members in the front row. And Clone Force, Cody should embarrass The Rock on the mic the same way that John Cena did. I don't know if Cody has it in him to embarrass The Rock. It's hard to top what Rock did in that 21-minute promo that he put out earlier today. I think Cody could definitely hold his own, but embarrass The Rock? That might be a tall order there. I don't know about that. Anyway, boy, a lot of salty people. Very upset with Be the Booker here tonight. My decision-making. You don't like the way I book? You can go to another territory. I'm the booker, not you. I make the decisions. Now I know how these bookers actually feel when they have to put up with these wrestlers who bitch and moan about who goes over and who doesn't. Now I know what it feels like. Anyway, thank you for a fun stream. After a fun SmackDown tonight, very eventful episode. I'm going to be live with you again on Sunday night. But first, we have episode 851 of the Solid Monster Sounds Off coming up on Sunday at some point. Hopefully not too late because we have a pay-per-view, but there is a lot of work that is still yet to be done for the show. So you're going to get two shows on Sunday, and I hope that you will join me live here on YouTube then. And then back here for the Raw stream on Monday night. And again, don't forget, we have the collaboration with myself and Greg on his channel. Go check that out. That went up earlier today. Had a fun time with him. Of course, we also have House of Glory. That is where I will be at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. So if you're coming to the show, say hello. It's going to be a good time. Looking forward to it. Mike just dropped a super chat on me over here. Mike 43. But Juan also has a message here. MLS started last week, and my first home game is tomorrow. I will take it easy with the PBR at Soldier Field, getting the wrath of the GWO. Yes, that's right. Watch your alcohol consumption here. We know that Juan has gone overboard before a time or two. Mike, though, says, will Ospreay and Okada... Again, well, that's exactly the match that I was going to talk about on Sunday. I'm going to go through my predictions for Revolution. There's been a few updates since I talked about it on Wednesday. You know, I think that we could see, since you're pushing me to spoil it now, you know, there's all this talk. Fightful had a report this week about Okada being on the March 6th Dynamite, which is next week's show. I think they're going to be in Atlanta or somewhere in Georgia. And he may be on that show. They may not be waiting until Big Business in Boston to kind of debut him the same night as Mercedes. I guess they'll give her that night all to herself. Just because Okada is going to be on Dynamite next week does not mean that he will not be at Revolution. And so I can envision a scenario where after the Will Ospreay-Takeshita match, because I don't think Ospreay is going to be with the Callis family for much longer, there could be a beatdown. We could get Okada coming out and in a surprise move to make the save for Ospreay. I think, whether that happens or not, that the match for Big Business, Okada may not be debuting that night, but I think that could be his first match. And I think we get Okada and Ospreay together against Takeshita and Hobbs in a tag team match. And I think his first singles match could actually be Takeshita, Okada and Takeshita, although promo-wise, that might be tough to build that up. But I think the tag match at Big Business, I think that's the match we're going to get. If I had to make a prediction, I think that's the tag team match we get. Because they're going to have to start announcing some big things for that show. They may not announce Mercedes in advance, but they're going to really build that show up as a big deal. You got to start announcing some big matches for that show. They'll start doing that coming out of the pay-per-view, probably. But I think that that tag team match is very possible. Very possible for that show. And finally, Uffman Entertainment. Though I disagree, I respect you, Booker Man. It's all I ask for. Just respect the Booker. You don't have to like the Booker, but you gotta respect him. That's all I'm saying. Uffman, thank you very much. And one last parting message from our pal. I hear that The Rock has a little something to say. What's that, Rock?
Cody Rhodes, from the bottom of my heart, man to man, fuck your story.
Can't get any more clear than that. We know what The Rock thinks of Cody Rhodes and his story. I'll see you guys for the Revolution review on Sunday night. Until then, take care.